Where are we headed? This is a very familiar picture if you've been following prices of just about any commodity over the last decade. This is an index of commodities, but it could be most of the commodities, from metals to agricultural commodities to oil. You remember that long ramp up that where we felt like maybe it was never going to end, and then it did. And we survived that roller coaster ride, and we wonder now what's happening. What's going to happen to world economic growth? What's going to happen to world coarse grain use and imports? What's going to happen to supply and demand for U.S. commodities? What's going to happen in global competition? The International Monetary Fund just came up with a new projection for world economic growth. They just came out with this in late January. This is a crummy slide because I just had to copy it out of their the picture out of their book. So, but you can see there the huge dip that the huge hit that the economic growth took in 2008, and then the climb back out of the hole in 2009. And the projections for 2010 are that world economic growth will be 3.9%, and in 2011. 4.3%. They said in their report, "We are not that optimistic, but we're just less pessimistic than we were in October." There is still a mediocre projection of growth for the major advanced countries. The U.S. is projected to grow at 2.1% in 2010, 2.4% in 2011. OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, published its projection and said this: "The slow pace of recovery clouds the outlook. U.S. demand is the key uncertainty. Non-OECD countries will be the sole contribution to global oil demand in 2010. OECD countries are essentially developed countries, so it's the developing countries which will be the source of increase of demand for oil in 2010. The global recovery is proceeding apace, but the strength of the upturn in 2010 is still uncertain and is regionally uneven." I mentioned that world economic growth, 3.9%, United States projection, 2.7%, China, 10%, India, 7.7%. Let me just show you what it looks like as you compare developing and developed countries. This is a little hard for you to see, but you just can kind of see where zero growth is, okay? And you can see on the far left, we have a series of bars for each country or region: the world, Africa, Central Europe, Russia, which took a big hit, China, and you can see the 4 years, 2008, 9, 10, 11. China's been very strong. India, the ASEAN countries, the Middle East, Brazil, and Mexico. And you can see that Eastern Europe, Russia, and Mexico took significant hits in 2008. But you can see a lot of growth before and after. If you use the same scale and look at the developed economies, you can see that none of them took the kinds of hits that some of those developing countries took, but every one of them saw that negative, we call it negative growth as economists, in 2008. And you can see that the recovery rate is much slower. Whoops, let me just take you back to that. There again, developing countries, the developed world. So you can see that the recovery is being fueled by the developing economies. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time on this slide. This is world coarse grain, and by that I mean corn, sorghum, and barley, supply and demand. The area shows production. I don't know what color that top line is. It's supposed to be kind of orange. Shows consumption, and those kind of bounce around. You see feed use in the middle there. And the wedge between feed use and total use is primarily U.S. ethanol production, use of corn for ethanol. And you see the trade down below. And it's a little hard to see what's happening in trade because trade's about 10% of total use, so it's kind of small on that scale. But I want to did I put a sign there? I want to call your attention to the section called Market Profiles in your notebook. And we're not going to go through this in class, but there will be a written exam at the end. There's a tab called Market Profiles that you ought to spend a few minutes on. It has more information than I can share with you today, but we have tables for U.S. corn, sorghum, and barley exports, And then we have profiles for all of the major markets in which we are working. We show some basic demographic information, and then 10-year charts of production, supply, and demand for corn, sorghum, and barley, depending on where those are important. For the major markets we're working in the back we have some miscellaneous tables for some of the competitor markets. So there's a lot of information in here that I would like you to be aware of, especially as you move into the A-team meetings. This will be something very useful. Today I'm just setting the stage with a few quick, this is kind of a view from a galloping horse at what's going on here. Now here's world coarse grain imports, and you can see in the first couple of years, this goes back 20 years, 1989, you can see the first couple of years of this time series, we were kind of bottoming out from the loss of the European Union and the Soviet Union markets. And you can see that after that bottoming out, then over that 20-year period, world coarse grain imports grew from about 80 million tons to about 100 million tons. Sorghum accounting for about 5% of world coarse grain trade, barley for about 20%. Now, this is Office 2007, and I don't know how to use it, and it keeps changing on me, so I can't make everything perfect on here. But anyway, this is U.S. coarse grain. This is coarse grain imports from the United States. And you can see that pretty volatile, and that sorghum accounts for about 10% of our exports, barley somewhere between 1% and 3%. That same information we could show you in this chart, we're mapping. This is just corn. We're mapping corn imports from 1989 to 2009, and then we had the system just throw in some trend lines there so you could see what is happening. During this 20-year period, the trend is that world corn imports grew by about 25 million tons, and that growth was shared almost equally between the United States and non-U.S. Providers. The U.S. started out with about a 66% share of the market, and so you can see, since we've about shared that growth equally, that our total share of this market is declining slightly over this 20-year period. Really quickly looking at U.S. corn, sorghum, and barley supply and demand curves, and these things are in your book, and you can go look at them a little more carefully. You can see U.S. corn production, that's the area, continuing to grow. You can see the wedge between total use, which is that top line in the middle, and feed use. That wedge, of course, is ethanol use. You can see from the bars, which are exports, that we have shown that we can continue to produce for food, feed, and fuel, and exports. We have been able to clearly demonstrate that the U.S. corn industry is capable of producing for all of these needs. Sorghum industry, I used to do this map with about a 20-year picture, and I probably should have again, but there's been a steady decline in sorghum production that seems to have stopped. There's been a resurgence of sorghum production. This may be Troy Skarke doing it all himself. Troy, is this your farm that we're looking at here? But that's good news. The bars are exports. Exports have accounted for about half of U.S. sorghum production through the years. You can see we had a peak in 2007. That was when Europe needed some sorghum. And then there's been kind of a drop-off in those exports, and we hope that the National Sorghum Export Program can help us to recapture some of those exports for sorghum. Barley industry, I think we would still say that the area is declining a little bit. The gap between the top line and the bottom line is the non-feed use. Of course, that's mostly for brewing. The interesting problem at the bottom, the U.S. is an importer and an exporter of barley. The imports are, I have to keep remembering, green, and the exports are red. Most of the time, exports have been greater than imports, except you can see in the last 2 years, those exports have taken a real hit. And so the barley industry exports have not been very strong in the last couple of years. Now, just a quick slide about distillers' grains. We're all aware of this. You've seen this slide before. As ethanol production expands, distillers' grains production expands, and distillers' DDGS, this is the dry distillers' grains with solubles, exports have risen to about 5 million tons this last year. This is a projection by ProExporter that suggests that exports need to double in the next 5 years. To 10 million tons, and the U.S. Grains Council is going to be on top of that. Now, what's happening around the world in terms of the growth of feed demand for coarse grains? This list, and there's too many here for you to see from the back of the room, but this lists the major countries where we are working, where feed use of coarse grains has grown since 2001. Total world coarse grain feed use in that period of time grew about 60 million tons, or about 10%. So you're looking at something like a 1% per year growth around the world in feed use of coarse grains. That large bar at the very far left is China, which accounts for 1/3 of all of the growth of feed use in the world over the last 10 years. And you can see the next several countries. Actually, you can't see them, but I'll tell you what they say. Brazil, Mexico, Russia, Iran, Europe, Saudi Arabia, Vietnam, Colombia. So there's a lot of growth going on. This is the foundation upon which we build our hopes and aspirations and strategies for expanding exports of U.S. grains. Now, we're not the only ones trying to do that. There are exporters out there who are trying to learn the game and coming on. This just looks at some of the up-and-coming competitors. You can see the top line represents total corn exports. That middle line represents U.S. corn exports. And the areas at the bottom represent the up-and-coming competitors of Argentina, Brazil, Russia, which is that little tiny fingernail there, fingernail clip, and Ukraine. These up-and-coming exporters have essentially doubled their exports into the world markets of corn since 1999, from about a total of 10 million tons to about 20 million tons in the coming year. And you can see that some of the, Brazil has come from essentially nothing. That's the red one there. Black is Ukraine, and they also have grown rapidly. Now, there's a lot of talk about the Black Sea. This is Ukraine, Russia, and Kazakhstan, and what's happening, this whole area of perhaps emerging competition. There's a lot of information on this chart, and let me just kind of give you a few pieces from it. The gray area is production, and you can see at the end of the Soviet era, they were producing there at about 140 million tons of corn, wheat, and barley combined. Okay, these are the three grains that are represented. You can see that production dipped down and then has recovered. But the lines show, the top line showing total use and the middle line showing feed use, show that those things collapsed there into the mid-90s and basically have not recovered. So as production of those grains has recovered in the Black Sea area, their own domestic consumption, feed use, has not. And so that's put a lot of that grain available on the world market. Now, just for clarification, this shows the mix of grains coming from the Black Sea. This is Black Sea grain exports, that is exports of barley, corn, and wheat. The barley is kind of the gold at the bottom. Corn is the red in the middle, and green is wheat. And so predominantly what's being produced and exported is wheat. And the question that Tom Doerr raises is, when there's that much wheat coming out on the marketplace, how many people are going to learn to feed wheat instead of corn? So the projection, I don't know what to say. So I took it from a book that I read to my kids. The outlook is cloudy with the chance of meatballs. And Tom and Carol today threw out a lot of questions, posed a lot of issues that confront us with uncertainty. And if we think about a lot of the really difficult things that might happen, what if South America continues to expand its planted area? What if the Black Sea doubles its grain exports? What if China doubles its corn yields? What if the U.S. experiences a serious drought? The other anxiety that I've heard occasionally from corn growers is, what will we do if we have a really, really good year? On the other hand, what if India, Iraq, Iran, and Pakistan become the markets they have the potential to become? What if China decides to allow corn exports? What if Europe accepts biotechnology? What if we succeed in eliminating trade barriers in some of our most promising markets? What if Russia and the Ukraine rebuild their own domestic livestock industry to feed growing consumer demand in those countries? What if the need to double world meat production in the next 20 years is real? Carol gave the best answer that we can give. We don't know the answers to these questions. And that's why we need the U.S. Grains Council, because exports is not a spectator sport. The answers to these questions are not yet written, and we have the opportunity to help write those answers in our own interest and in the interest of our trading partners around the world. Thank you very much. I almost made it.